Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
I'd see him sitting on that couch all day long, just staring at that Hollywood hogwash.
Our favorite show was Hollywood Hogwash.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hollywood Hogwash. I'm Andrew Pisano, along with my brother Joe Pisano and Josh Reese. I can't stop busting nuts, guys. I'm sorry. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is
easily the best Sony movie they've ever done.
Well, come on now.
Hey.
We're not talking about Morbius and all that shit, Josh. Across the Spider-Verse is my favorite movie of 2023 so far.
I don't like ranking cartoons with live action only because there's different rules. But I'll tell you this. This is an amazing movie. And I don't think there's been a cartoon movie that I've enjoyed more than this movie.
I agree. I don't think there's been a cartoon that's captivated me like this movie has. Watching it with my kids. I'm on the verge of tears. You know, they're enjoying it.
Right.
They're like, you know, oh, cool. I'm like, don't cry in front of your children. Don't cry in front of your children. Right. I loved every minute of it. It is the most Spider-Man fan service movie there's ever been.
Right.
It's arguably the best Spider-Man movie there's ever been. I understand that there's different rules for live action.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It might be my favorite Spider-Man movie ever. I really liked the first one. Mm-hmm. But when it was like, yeah, I still like, you know, Homecoming and Spider-Man 2 more.
Right.
I've only seen this once and I walked out and I was like, that was the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen.
But it's so many beats. Well, first of all, I like what they did with the multiverse. The multiverse gets me a little annoyed sometimes in the MCU. And when you watch Loki and, you know, you see all these different things that are happening, you're like, there's an alligator Loki. Like, some of that stuff upsets me. But I feel like this movie did not upset me when it came to multiple universes.
No. Yeah.
They kind of made it smoother for me. You know what I mean? They didn't, like, throw it all up and, like, no, if you think about, don't think about it as infinite multiverses. Think of it as, like, there's more than one.
Sure.
And here are the other things that can happen in other ones that are close to you. Mm-hmm. And they nailed that.
We won't talk spoilers yet. But yeah, when you watch Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, it's like, no, this movie was Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
Like this, they did so much more. And sure, yeah, again, I get it, it's a cartoon. But really, when you think about it, animation's harder to do in some degrees.
No.
Yeah, yes, I mean, I'd like to think it's easier to go off the rails if you're doing an animation. But animation, they kept it grounded, and it was really, really compelling.
Animation technically might be harder, but you have endless possibilities what you can do.
Well, you want to
blow
CGI.
Up the world, you can blow up the world. You don't need CGI. You can do whatever you want, is all I'm saying. That's why the action scenes in this were incredible.
Marvel movies are 99% CGI. They film them in a giant green room. I mean, they do whatever they want. They killed half the universe.
Right. Go figure. This was an animation, but yet it was more compelling than maybe 95% of the Marvel movies I've seen.
100%.
I mean, the only one that might be anywhere near this is Endgame.
Yeah, I wasn't captivated. Like, I wasn't amazed when I watched Into the Spider-Verse. I thought it was really good. I was like, yeah, it was a fun kids movie. Mm-hmm. This one, I was like, oh, they made this for me. They made this for me.
Yes.
So I can't wait to talk more about it.
Right.
We're going to talk about it later in the show. But first, we have to thank a new patron. Mm-hmm. So thank you to Paul Tamborella.
Oh, shit.
For signing up. You can sign up at patreon.com/Hollywood Hogwash. Only $3 a month. You can cancel any time. We just finished season 4 of Barry.
Barry.
And we were thinking, what are we going to do? Because we have a 2-week gap before Secret Invasion.
Right.
And one of those weeks is going to be the bracket.
Right.
For best TV intro of all time. Mm-hmm. And then Josh had this great idea. So go ahead and tell Josh for the other week.
Insane idea. I was like, We watched a really disappointing episode of Barry for the finale. Uh-huh. So I think what we have to do is we have to watch the greatest Barry episode of all time. That's and that's funny. Ronnie and Lily. That's we funny. Have to watch the Ronnie and Lily episode because we never recap that.
No,
we only did season four.
Well, yeah.
So for you guys, we're going to watch the greatest episode that was ever made. Maybe in TV history. I'll just throw it out there.
We're really
throw it out there.
If you haven't watched
Barry. We're going for it, are we, Josh?
I think so.
If you haven't watched Barry, watch that one first because it's kind of a standalone. Yeah. It won't really, I don't think it'll spoil anything really. But yeah, go watch that one. What is it called again?
Ronnie and Lily.
Ronnie and Lily from season two?
Season two, I believe. Yeah. Yeah.
So go check that out. It's really fucking good.
Fucking
and we'll,
amazing.
We'll watch it this week for the Hollywood Hogwash patron. Right. Patreon. It should be a lot of fun. All right. Also, before we get to Into the Spider-Verse or Across the Spider-Verse, let's talk about the news and rumors, aka the Hollywood Hogwash. Dwayne The Rock Johnson posted a 4-minute video about how happy he was to return to the Fast and Furious franchise. He said in the video, if you thought Stone Cold and The Rock headlining 3 WrestleManias was earth-shattering, wait until you see when Dante and Hobbs collide. That's what he said in the video.
Well, that's fine.
He's such a weird guy. I mean, he's great and all, but man, is he full of himself.
Well, for sure. I think once you get to that level of fame.
Yeah, but I mean, there are guys that are very humble. And I hate to...
Keanu Reeves.
Who's the, if you think, biggest movie star in the world?
Yeah.
You think maybe Tom Cruise?
Sure.
Like, he's not like, I'm great at everything. Like, if someone asks him a question, can you fly a plane? He goes, yeah, I learned how to fly a plane. Like, right. You know what I mean? I know he's weird too. But I'm just saying, like, The Rock is... He puts full of himself on a whole new level.
You know what
on a whole new level.
When I was watching that video, I'm like, he's very like O.J. Simpson-y.
Ew.
Like, just like so, like O.J. Simpson's full, you know, he's in denial.
Like a sociopath. Of
who he really is. Like, that's just what he reminds me of in that. It was so weird. He was also like, you know, me and Vin Diesel, we squashed it. We put brotherhood and family before anything. Family. You know, it was just like, okay.
Well,
put your paycheck before everything else. What happened was, if the beef was real, which I still don't believe it necessarily was, but I can understand these two giant egos hating each other.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like what happened was Black Adam failed.
Mm-hmm.
And James Gunn said, no more of that. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's not a part of the DC anymore. And he said, all right, I'll go back to the franchise that made me.
Yeah.
Family.
And he also said that the next Fast and Furious film will be a Hobbs spinoff that will set up Fast X Part 2. And those are his words, not mine.
That's
Fast
100% X, what I thought.
Fast X Part 2.
So
Fast 10 Part 2.
Right. Like you can't just call it Fast 11.
Fast 11
or do they just go right to Fast 12 like an iPhone trick? Like, what happened to iPhone 11 or iPhone 9?
So we're gonna get
his movie, then part two?
Yeah.
Black and Adam versus Aquaman. Finally.
We haven't even started filming any of this then, probably.
No.
Like, you
and
know,
it's going to be delayed more because of the writer's strike.
Oh, man.
Right. But man. It seems like he's hinting that it's going to be, The Rock versus Jason Momoa in the Hobbs movie.
It's 100% going to be Black Adam versus Aquaman. Right. It didn't happen on the DC screens, but it's going to happen here. God damn it.
That's pretty funny. I you know
but,
what?
But
those
also,
two on camera, those two characters would be a lot of fun.
Well, for sure.
A lot of fun.
But also, like, if it is that, then they're going to have to, like, because how do you have that? Like, Fast 10 ended on a cliffhanger.
Right.
So we'd have to at least find out what happened at that point.
You know how they do it now. They all do it like this. They're going to do stuff leading up to his phone call.
So he attacked him first?
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess you could do that.
Maybe.
I mean, look, it's not the first time Fast and Furious went back in time.
Oh, right, right.
They gotta did go
Tokyo,
back in
Tokyo time. Drift. And then when Fast 6 came out, they were like, hey, that was actually in the future. Tokyo Drift was in the future. Huh?
Huh?
It was in between 6 and 7. What?
By the time
you can't do that.
By the time Fast and Furious 50 comes out, I think it's going to be one day.
Can't wait.
You remember Charlie Day on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Where he's like drawing all over the board trying to put things together. I think that's going to be the timeline.
I think that meme's already been a thing. It's like trying to figure out the Fast and Furious universe.
More memes?
Jesus.
So yeah, the next one's just going to be Hobbs.
See, but they technically might not have squashed the beef because this could just be only a Hobbs movie. Vin Diesel might not even be in it.
That's probably what it was about, is Vin Diesel's like, God damn it, I have to have all these people with me in my movie, but The Rock's, you know, a bigger star than me.
Right.
Yeah, but he is. He's a bigger star than you.
He's way bigger.
You know, the irony is...
I don't know how Vin Diesel's still making movies, because there's another...
Riddick
coming out?
Yeah, right.
Just off of his Fast and Furious movies fame.
Well, there's enough Riddick fans, I guess.
Really? I'm a closet Riddick.
That is hard to perceive.
I was just saying, the irony of these two motherfuckers is that they're really alike. They may hate each other, quote unquote, but they're really the same person.
I think Vin Diesel's mad because he has to wear, high heels when he does scenes with The Rock.
We wanted the scenes with anybody, right?
Really?
Even some of his female co-stars.
Oh, you got
Gal Gadot? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Also, select theaters will be showing Oppenheimer in 70mm film. Mm. They said the reel is reportedly over 11 miles long and weighs 600 pounds.
How does that even...
Yeah.
The original, what they shot?
Yes. All the bonus footage. No, I mean, this is Christopher Nolan. So it's going to be...
I want to put that in perspective.
It's going to be in IMAX everywhere, but in 20 theaters and not any here, it's going to be the 70mm film, 11 miles long, 600 pounds. That's because Christopher Nolan's one of the few people left that... Maybe the only one that's you have to show my shit in film. You can't do... digital, you know?
Yeah.
Didn't...
But that is definitely a movie... that I'm seeing in IMAX. You have to.
Okay.
Your theater's going to blow up.
I'm not a movie foul. So kind of explain to me, what does that even mean? The 11 miles and how special. What is 70
film,
millimeter?
The film
What
reel.
Makes it so special?
Oh, I don't know. Oh,
okay. Because
no,
I
but
think
it's just super.
Here's what. I'll tell you, Josh.
Okay.
There's nothing like film. Film is still a clearer picture than anything digitally that you can do, because what digitally does is it kind of transposes the picture in a different format. Whereas when you do it in film, it's you're seeing what he sees. I think that's why artists are into that.
And Tarantino has said
can
that
our
still.
Eyes tell the difference? Okay. Probably not. You know what I mean?
Tarantino has said that as well. He's the difference between digital and film is film, you're actually watching pictures and it's the movie magic.
Right.
Digital, you're not.
Yeah.
So instead of a thumb drive that some person plugs into the screen, it's a...
When I was working in theaters, every movie was still shown in film.
Yeah.
They would show, you know.
Yeah. You got to put the can
and
on.
And we would have to carry the giant fucking film reel. I mean, how could you even bring this? It's got to be a bunch of separate reels, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
How long is it going to be, did they say?
11 miles long.
No. It's close
how long
to
11
is the movie?
Hours. No.
It's close to 3 hours.
So I think it's 3 hours, yeah. Maybe more. I think it's right around 3 hours. Yeah.
Right.
Well, again, you've got all these great actors. You got one of the greatest directors. I don't love 3 hour movies, but this will probably be okay.
I mean, rare exception. Most movies shouldn't be. Most movies shouldn't even be 2.5, but this is probably going to be amazing.
Spider-Man was 210, 215 running time.
Yeah. Yeah. Across
Which
the Spider-Verse.
Is long for a
cartoon,
film.
Absolutely. Right, but it didn't feel long.
No.
Also, Oppenheimer is Christopher Nolan's first R-rated film in over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
His last was Insomnia.
So it's going to be a lot of fucks, probably a lot of death from the...
Well, how do you see a nuclear explosion and not be like, fuck?
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus. Wow.
I imagine, the last half hour of the movie is going to be pretty intense.
Right.
I can't wait, though. It comes out in July.
July's going to be a really popping month, too.
Well, it's summertime. There's a lot of movies coming out in the summer.
So, and it's the race to the nuke, right?
Yeah.
The technology. And, and does it lead up to us dropping it? Do you know that? Is that part of it or no?
I would imagine so.
Yes, it has to. Because he also does they show scenes of the not the press conference, but when he's in front of Congress.
Yeah. True.
So I'm pretty sure that's after. I don't know the exact timeline, obviously, but yeah. I just love the trailer where he's like, what if Hitler had this? We have to make it before Hitler does.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's, he has a point.
And, Nazis with this technology would suck.
Yeah. Also,
well, good.
A trailer for Justified, Sydney Primeval dropped. It feels a lot different, but
yes.
Also, we're not in Kentucky anymore, so that makes sense.
That
we're
in Detroit. Be a lot less rednecks, I would imagine.
The mean streets of Detroit. His daughter's in the show. She's a teenager. Mm-hmm. And I'm very interested. I'm a little worried because they ended Justified perfectly. And you know what? It's funny. We're talking about Barry. A lot of series finales are terrible.
Right.
Justified was great.
Sure.
Their series finale was awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm a little worried because, you know, there's a chance you could ruin it. But I'm still very interested. I want to see more Raylan Givens.
Right. Raylan Givens in the city of Detroit fucking people up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't fuck with Raylan Givens and Detroit will learn.
And Detroit will learn.
Wasn't that where one of the gangs was from? In May? Justified, they were from Detroit,
right?
The guy in the limo,
right? The one, right?
Weren't they from Detroit?
I think he was from Detroit, the Detroit mobster.
I think it was Detroit. I don't think it was New York or anything. So maybe that's why it's Detroit. Anyways, moving on. The Office is getting its 13th localized remake.
Oh shit.
What?
You know, when a show's really popular, they do it in France and they do it in, you know, they do it everywhere.
It's
like,
been done 12 times.
Yeah.
So England, US, and then 10 other countries.
Yeah. This time, they're doing it in Australia with a female lead and it's going to be on Amazon Prime. I don't know if it's going to be on Prime here, but.
I kind of want to see that because I love that accent.
Right.
That might be pretty funny.
Yeah, that's true. What do you guys have?
I don't know if people have heard, but people are freaking out that Ryan Reynolds might not be able to improv lines for Deadpool.
We did talk about this last week.
Yeah,
we
did. But the creator of Deadpool, Rob Liefeld, actually said he's not really worried about that. He tweeted recently, I keep reading all this, oh no, Ryan Reynolds. Well, no,
not this part.
Ryan Reynolds can't improvise on Deadpool 3 stuff. You know, he's wearing a mask. And
that's
in post-production...
That's what I said.
Why did you interrupt me, Andrew? He was reading the same thing you read, and I said, we read this last week.
No, we didn't read this.
Right.
That was what I said.
This is from the actual creator of Deadpool.
Okay.
Last week, I said they could always just do new lines in post-production because he's reading the mask. And now who's saying this?
The creator of Deadpool.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting calm down, people. I think the franchise is still going to be okay. So, pretty interesting. But I will point out...
I'm a genius!
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, other than Andrew is a genius. So, the last time there was a writer's strike, Ryan Reynolds was also playing Deadpool.
Oh, God.
For exactly.
The shitty Wolverine movie.
So, just to add some perspective...
oh, no! So, that's what ruined that movie?
the last time he couldn't improvise lines, they had to sew his mouth shut.
They're like, we have the first draft of Wolverine, but it needs a lot of work. Well, I guess, fuck it, let's just film it.
Yeah. Right.
That movie makes absolutely no sense.
None at all. You know, I can't wait for him to make fun of it, hopefully.
Oh, he's going to destroy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other thing I got I thought was kind of interesting. During an upcoming movie, the color of pink actually went out of stock worldwide. According to Greta Gerwig, who spoke with Architectural Digest, during the production of the upcoming Barbie movie. Yeah,
there you go. You have to say the movie title, Josh.
I was getting that. She said that there was an international shortage for the fluorescent shade of Roscoe paint of pink. The world ran out of pink.
Because of the movie coming out?
Because they used so much pink.
Filming it.
Oh, stop.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Well, have you seen the trailers?
Is that under rumors, Josh?
No, she was speaking with that Architectural Digest.
I saw this as well, and I was just like, what?
I just thought it was interesting. Yeah. I mean, I've seen some of the trailers, and there is so much pink.
Sure.
So, I mean, I would imagine that, you know.
You don't run out of in the world.
Well, it caused a shortage.
That's
they made pink more, skyrocket.
We got to mix more paint.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much all I got. Thought it was kind of interesting.
I just have a couple of things. And Just Like That is the kind of the sequel to Sex and the City. And the big hoopla was season one didn't have Kim Cattrall, who really was a big part of that, you know, first, the original show, loved character, and she's going to make an appearance in the second season. So her and Sarah Jessica Parker must have squashed their beef.
That so much beef Vin squashing. Diesel and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Very
beef?
Similar. Yes, very similar.
That's funny.
What is it? It's Just Like That?
That's what the Sex and the City, the new show is called.
Oh,
and
okay.
And Just Like That. I don't know why they didn't just say Sex and the City again, but they just wanted to change it for whatever reason. So she is going to make
Sex and the City.
Just
they're
like
not
that.
Hot anymore.
And well,
most of them never were.
Charlotte was always hot.
Charlotte the one with hot. The black hair?
Yeah, Jessica. Black hair. Well, yeah. We can argue hotness another
Sarah
time.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Come on. Come on.
There really? Was a whole South Park episode.
Of how ugly she is?
That's it. That was the whole episode. Yes, literally every joke was Sarah Jessica Parker, and then people start vomiting.
Horse face, right? Is that what
horse face.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. But like, her if body was hot.
If you watched the show, then you probably fell in love with her personality, and that's why you became attracted to her. It's kind of like Fleabag.
It's not like... I think it's just a funny joke.
Oh, that's
please horrible. Put it away. Put it away.
Please stop. Well, all right.
No, when you watch Fleabag the first time, she's like, you know, Phoebe, whatever her name is, she's an average looking person. But then, like, when you watch the show, you kind of fall in love with her.
I get that.
And you do fall in love
Phoebe,
with her.
That's who it was. Yeah. Right.
But I mean, she was at least average looking. I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker, come on.
Right.
All right.
Well, we know Joe's fetish.
What?
Well, we know what Joe's. We know what Joe's been watching, at least.
All right. He's Charlemagne. No, and then the next thing is I'll do a spoiler-free Ted Lasso series finale recap and just say this was good. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't a letdown. It wasn't like it was okay. A nice wrap up of everything that they were working on. And you know, it's a comedy, so I feel like there were some nice endings to stories. That's all.
You guys watched, you guys both are Succession fans. So mm-hmm. What did you think of the...
I haven't finished it yet. I'm going to binge it sometime soon.
And I'll just say that one, I was kind of disappointed in the finale.
Aww.
It kind of just was like, blah. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Blah.
The last few episodes are blah.
All right. Now let's talk about
greatness.
The reason we're all here.
Here we go.
Fucking greatness. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, $120 million. Domestic opening weekend, it made another $88 million globally, so it's doing very well.
So there's definitely going to be a follow-up.
Yes,
they already knew that.
Yeah, it's coming out next year.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the Spider-Verse, yep. Which holy shit, my brain's already exploding.
Right,
but no, I feel like you need to watch this movie 100 times
to
catch everything they did.
Right,
because again, like earlier today, me and Josh watched this Easter egg video. And they show you so fucking much that it was like, oh my God.
Right.
And they probably didn't get everything either.
No.
It was a 40-minute video.
Right.
Matthew and I were pointing things out to each other.
Yeah.
We usually sit kind of close. This time we sat kind of in the middle. And the screen, again, is just so giant that you can't really see everything. But I guess we'll get to it. But
a lot of things are like you have to pause it because it'll show you for 1 second. And
right.
Then,
yeah.
It's a lot of stuff
to read
like
what's
that.
On the screen.
I'm sure they mentioned this, but like the video game that his roommate's playing.
Yeah.
Is the Spider-Man game.
Right.
Yeah. Like yes. Stuff like that was great. Yeah.
This movie starts with Gwen. She's basically telling the story this time.
Right.
And it's funny because on YouTube, like the video we saw on YouTube, it's like this is her like recruitment video. Of why she's recruiting everyone at the end, you know, getting the team back together. But I like when they show her in high school, her band name is the Mary Janes.
That's good.
You know, that was good.
I guess.
What?
Drug reference?
No. Mary Jane Spider-Man.
Come on.
Mary Jane Spider-Man.
Mary Jane is Spider-Man?
Oh, it's Spider-Man reference.
We haven't seen that yet. So in her world, Peter Parker turned himself into the Lizard.
Right.
I guess out of jealousy.
Right?
Of her, like, I'm, you know, she's always the one that's having to help me, so.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get picked on anymore. He was tired of being a little bitch, so he wanted to, you know, bulk up.
So he turns himself into the Lizard, and she fights him at the dance and kills him by accident, not knowing that it was him. So she feels very guilty about that.
Right. And this is the only plot hole that I thought was weird, that her dad thought it was her, and... Even though there was like hundreds of kids that saw the Lizard attack everybody,
he didn't know it was her,
huh?
He didn't know it was her till later.
Because when she revealed herself, he was confused.
No, but he blamed Spider-Woman.
Oh, right.
The murder of Peter Parker.
Right. Yes.
So it's like, how can you assume that when you didn't see anything?
Right.
And all the kids are like, there was this giant monster
easily through killing everybody
they that could have killed Peter.
Right.
That could have, you know what I mean? Like, and she's a hero. Like, I don't know if they have like the, you know, usually it's J. Jonah Jameson. It's like, Spider-Man is a menace to society. But like, I don't think the commissioner necessarily thinks that Spider-Man or Spider-Woman's a menace. So anyway, that was just a little.
I think what happened that was bothered me. In that universe, no one takes police witness statements. So, well, you know,
that could be John. No one has iPhones in that universe. Right. Yeah, you can record anything.
We're not going to believe some dumb kids.
Yeah.
Right, because easily that would be on the internet.
Well, if something, if something like that happened, I mean, you know, vigilantes aren't legal in all these universes. Yeah. So at the very least, you'd have to be taken in for questioning or something.
But there's like, what? I mean, a million stories of Spider-Woman saving people's lives and all of a sudden she just murders some random kid.
Right.
That's not a character. Like, you're just going to assume that?
Right.
It's just weird.
Well, I think this was like early on. Like, she probably just got her powers.
Mm,
I
don't think early on in her Spider-Woman
hood for long. But we hear J.K. Simmons' voice all throughout this movie many times.
Amazing.
Should we count Easter eggs?
Like, well, that's going to be a lot.
Like, you hear him before you even see him, and you're just like, oh my God.
Lego J. Jonah Jameson.
That's right.
And he's, I don't know if it was this point yet, but at one point, they literally used his quote from the first Spider-Man, where he's like telling Peter, "Like, get me a picture of Spider, a decent picture this time."
No, that was like, Lego. That was Lego Universe.
Yes, right. And then, like Miles, like all the other Spider-Men, she puts on a deeper voice when she's Spider-Woman.
That's funny. Yeah,
talking to her, you know, the cops and everything, and her father. And then Vulture from another universe is about to kill her. That Vulture, and he's from like a
Leonardo da Vinci universe.
Leonardo da Vinci universe type thing, and he was voiced by Yorma from Lonely Island.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
But they have this cool fight. He's about to kill her, but she is saved by Spider-Man 2099, voiced by Oscar Isaac, who is like the MVP of this movie.
He's a pleasant surprise for sure. Right. I never knew Spider-Man 99 was a vampire.
I never read Spider-Man 2099.
I thought you were both going to be like,
I had the action figure and everything.
He has fangs and whatnot. Yeah, he's kind of.
Yeah, I don't know the whole story. But man, Oscar Isaac was fucking
great.
Voice acting his ass off in this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
He was terrifying in some moments. But
I know.
He also mentioned plot points from No Way Home. You know, he mentions Doctor Strange and that other Spider-Man kid did on Earth. What is it? 619 or
619.
Something?
Bulaka, bulaka.
That's one of the things that I really loved about this movie. Unlike other multiverse movies and even other Marvel movies, like, this actual movie is what's tying a lot of things together. You know, this fucking cartoon is doing a better job at tying the universe together than anything else.
I know.
It's crazy. True.
It is.
Then we got a pregnant Spider-Woman showing up on a motorcycle.
On a motorcycle. It's like, that's fucking cool.
And apparently that's even from the comics. Like, she was pregnant and fighting crime. Vulture shoots down a helicopter and they web it up to stop it from crashing onto civilians. Then Gwen's dad has her at gunpoint and she's out of webs. So she takes her mask off and he's shocked, obviously, at this. But he still plans to arrest her.
Right.
And she's like, can you just stop being a cop? Like, for 1 minute.
That was my first, like, that's kind of sad.
Then Spider-Man 2099 stops him, and Gwen joins their team. Then we finally go back to Miles, and we see what he's been doing for the last year. He's like, I co-hosted Jeopardy! I endorsed baby powder! And then I apologize for endorsing baby powder. And it was like, is that just like a little joke? Like, obviously that company did something wrong, so we had to apologize for endorsing it?
I've just figured that. Yeah,
right.
I did want to go back a second to when Gwen went into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Like, they were so reluctant to let her in, and I feel like that was because they knew ahead of time how much of a relationship she had with Miles. Because they fought to keep her out of it, and then, like, only because that her identity was revealed is that's when they let her in.
Yes. I don't know.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting plot point.
I think it's obvious. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
So then Miles fought a villain called The Spot, voiced by Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, yeah. He has a very distinct voice, especially from... I can't think of the name of the movie. The video the game movie.
Yeah.
Something versus Against the World. Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. Like he was kind of like the same kind of character. Right. Of a douchey bad guy.
That's
like,
what he always is. He's always a douche.
True. It was fun.
And it's funny because when he first showed up, I was just like, oh, I guess this is just some villain that Miles will fight and defeat.
That's what I thought. I thought this was like a 5-minute villain and like the real baddie. I thought the real baddie was Oscar Isaac.
Well, he is.
I guess he is, too. But
there's two main villains in this movie. And one of them is Spider-Man.
He's the ways justify the means kind of good guy villain. You know what I mean? Like
Thanos. He's the Thanos of this movie.
Well, he's more like Batman, I would say, than anything else.
Right.
But yeah. Because it's not like he's killing people, still, but he's just like, look, you gotta... We'll talk about that later. Yeah. Anyways, Miles is late for his parent-teacher conference. And even that scene was like funny when it was just his parents talking to the guidance counselor and everything like that.
Rachel Dratch.
It even looks like her.
Yeah, yeah.
If she were 60, she might be close to that. Yeah. No, but like you see Miles fighting the spot in the background while they're talking and everything.
Yeah.
That was great. And then Miles captures him for a moment and... He goes back to his dorm and tells his friend, like, call the cops and everything. And his roommate says, I'm not your guy in the chair. Reference to Spider-Man Homecoming.
Interesting. Well, also, what an asshole thing to do. Wouldn't you want to be Spider-Man's man in the chair? I'm just saying.
Well, it's funny because I learned in that YouTube video that his roommate is, like, Ned was originally Miles' friend.
Right.
So, like, this is basically, like, the same, like, it's based off the same character, to speak. Yeah. But I like that. And the spot escapes and tells Miles that they created each other because of the spider, and he threw a bagel at him, and...
right.
And then when what is it? The collider thing exploded, it made him the spot.
Yeah.
Then Spot literally kicks his own butt. He kicks himself into himself. Miles' dad opens up to Spider-Man, obviously still not knowing that, you know, it's his son. And then the Spot realizes he could transfer to other universes, like a Lego one. And
this was so fun.
And the Venom verse with the store clerk that Eddie Brock talks to in the Venom movies, which she's like one of the best,
Matthew screamed
characters.
Venom like out loud as soon as we saw her. I was like,
and he also steals some gum, and it's called Venomint.
Sure.
The brand of gum is Venomint.
I just love it because he's like, obviously, this doesn't bother you. Because she sees Venom.
Yeah, she's like, come
on. Tom Hardy all the time.
Yeah, what has she not seen?
She's like, come on, I've seen two horrible Venom movies. What are you talking about? And then the Spot says, when he realizes the power he has, he says, the power of the multiverse in the palm of my hand. Reference to Doc Ock, the power of the sun. In the palm of my hand.
Yeah.
And then he's like talking about his powers, but then like he doesn't know that a couple of like New York construction workers are watching him. They're like, hey, can you stop talking about your holes?
Yeah.
What are you doing? This is where we see Lego J. Jonah Jameson and Lego Spider-Man. I thought we were certainly going to hear Tobey Maguire's voice in this scene.
I kind of thought that too, but I guess it's too much to ask.
Then Miles is late for his dad's promotion celebration party because he has to stop random bad guys. He bought two cakes because what he said on the cakes was too long, so he had to get two cakes.
Right. That was funny.
But then when he shows up, the cakes are all fucked up and it just says, I'm not proud.
Which yeah, yeah.
Leo started cracking up in the theater. He didn't stop laughing.
Just like when Spider-Man had to deliver pizzas and they were kind of fucked up.
Right? Absolutely. That was what they said in the movie, too. Yeah.
Pizza time.
Yeah.
I'm not paying for that.
Yeah.
So the parents ground him, but then Gwen shows up and she sees all of his drawings of her. And he's like, yeah, I'm grounded. And she's like, is Spider-Man grounded? And he was like, okay.
They're 15. Easy. Wow.
I busted nuts.
Hormones, hormones all over the place.
At 15, you can't even help but bust nuts.
Yeah.
So their swing date was really...
Oh, Mr. Pisano, you okay?
Yeah.
Can you come up to the chalkboard? Nope.
I'd rather die. Whatever punishment you're going to give me is not death.
So if I'm everyone can close their eyes, sure. But no, I really like their swing date. You know, they're swinging upside down. I really thought that was cool.
It was.
Taking the hot dogs and then webbing the money to that guy's chest.
Right.
The little kid licking the window on the train.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
No. Yeah. No, and when they were on the rooftop later and doing that upside down, when they were sitting upside down, that was such a beautiful shot. That was so awesome.
It was nice, yeah. But I guess there's claw things on their asses, too.
Just sticky everywhere.
Is that
all over
your body? Sticky everywhere?
She webbed
his hands and feet, but I guess
she webbed herself to the top, to the wall.
Yeah, but then like he walked and then just sat down upside down.
I was
like,
well, their feet. I mean, he's always been able to walk on buildings.
Yeah, but that's because of the feet.
Yeah,
but then what about when he just sat down?
It goes through.
You really worried about
through the ass?
Really?
I thought about it for a second. Look, we're talking about everything, okay? It's a recap.
That's some picky stuff right there.
It's really breathable suit.
Yeah.
Also, they passed a billboard. It's funny because they had they had these bagel references and in Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, I don't, Joe, you still haven't seen it, right?
I haven't seen it all
but
the way.
But there's like a lot to do with bagels and how so. There's a billboard that reads, all of it, always, all over the place, with a bagel in the middle.
Really?
Fucking amazing.
So, like, even they were acknowledging, like, yeah, that movie was awesome. And we put bagel references.
Was it Sony, too?
No, it was A24. Hmm. But, like, they put bagel references in this movie, I guess, just because they loved that movie so much.
Maybe.
And they're like, yeah, it's multiverse. We're doing multiverse. And that was a great multiverse
movie.
Out
of respect for a good multiverse movie. You know,
right. Yeah. Maybe Everything Everywhere could get Spider-Man in their neck. No, maybe. I doubt they're doing a sequel to that.
Probably. That's funny.
So Miles was about to make his move on Gwen, but she says, in every other universe, Gwen Stacy falls for Spider-Man. And it doesn't end well. So he inches back away from
crushing.
He's about to make his move, man. Then Gwen briefly meets Miles' parents, but then she leaves to go after the spot, and Miles' mom lets him go after Gwen, even though he's grounded.
Aw.
And Gwen's tracker that she put on the spot earlier showed that he left the universe, and the Spider Society people, Spider-Woman gets really mad at her and everything, like, you got to fix this. And Miles spied while Gwen was talking to her, and she even, like, looks out into the city and says, goodbye, Miles, not knowing she's saying it right to his face.
Yeah.
I guess she doesn't have the spider tingle, because, I mean, you'd think she would notice, but
she
I guess
does,
not.
But he's invisible. That gets rid of everything else.
I guess.
Yeah, sure.
So then Miles, of course, follows her into the other universe, where we meet Indian Spider-Man, voiced by the actor that plays Dopinder from Deadpool. Yep.
And you know what?
Very recognizable voice.
You know what? Yeah. I'm glad he's a superhero now. That's great. There's probably going to be a lot of references to that in Deadpool.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
They very well. Yeah, I mean, I guess they'd have to rewrite it. We also meet Spider-Punk, voiced by the star of Get Out. Daniel,
I forgot
how to pronounce his
last
name.
Right.
But
yeah. He was in Nope.
Spider-Punk was cool. I've never like read anything about Spider-Punk, but he always looked cool to me. I've played as him in some Spider-Man games.
Punk rock.
Then the spot goes in the collider to gain more power, and he shows Miles his future, looking like, you know, Miles' dad is in trouble.
Right.
Then the building collapsed, and they save Indian Spider-Man's girlfriend and her dad, who's, you know, a fucking cop there as well.
Aren't they cops in every universe? I think that was
kind of something like that. Yeah.
They get a standing. Well, it's his Gwen, right? It's his Gwen and her dad. So they get a standing ovation from Mumbatan. And then the spider containment crew shows up. And then they go to the Spider Society headquarters, with so many Spider-Men, endless amounts.
This reminded me of Spider-Man. So much of the Council of Ricks. So much of the Council of Ricks.
Well, and these are just the ones recruited into the agency.
Yeah.
There's obviously plenty that are not part of this.
Well, at least Miles.
Think they all are except for Miles.
I think that was what Oscar Isaac said later. Right.
Yeah.
I thought this was all
And Gwen until that moment?
Because she became friends with him, yeah.
Oh.
But he was like, yeah, when he was like, you don't belong here, you know, like you're ruining everything. I love Cowboy Spider-Man. He's like, name's Web Slinger.
You know who that was?
Who?
The guy from SNL.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Taran, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, that's right. Term. I read that later.
Yeah.
There's so many good. There were so many good ones.
Every, even little parts were played by famous people.
Yeah.
I think.
Like one of the, the Peter Parker who became Lizard.
Yeah.
And died. That was Jack Quaid.
Yes,
yes, yes.
The boys.
That's right, right, right. I think I saw somewhere that like they made like almost 300 Spider-Men for this. For the Spider-Verse. Like,
well, yeah,
they
could use you saw them, like all that. Right.
Yeah. It's so amazing.
Gwen's dad was Shea Whigham. He was in, I mean, you know, like King Kong.
Oh, and, yeah, that guy's great.
Yeah, he's amazing. Eaton's for the living.
Also, Miles' dad is Tangerine from Bullet Train.
I had no idea. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
It sounded completely different, but
well, that's the awesome point, Josh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a movie.
Yep, yep, yep.
It's a movie. Wait, that's not him in real life? He's not Tangerine? He's dead. How can he voice Spider-Man's dead?
No, but Tangerine was like a British accent. I mean, it was good.
That's what actors do, Josh.
Not all. Yeah, okay, whatever. It was nice.
I mean, you've seen me do voices.
Especially like
fucking tits. You're right.
Fucking tits.
Dicks.
Yeah. Then they show him like the captured villains. We got Mysterio, a boring rhino. And then
the actual rhino?
Probably my favorite part of the movie. I've been begging for this for years. I'm like, we saw Homecoming. Donald Glover is fucking, he becomes Prowler. When is he going to be Prowler? And we got Donald Glover as Prowler.
Was this? Like that you press a button of yourself coming.
Yes.
Was this him in the MCU later on?
Yes.
Like this is what he'll become?
Absolutely.
Because it could have been another multiverse.
No!
Well...
live action.
Well, no. What Joe's saying is that from the same universe that the Homecoming was in.
Yes, I understand.
I don't think it was, though.
It was. Yes.
Was it?
Yes. That's what everyone's saying, anyways.
Which would be great if we get him someday,
We have to.
He's stuck in that cell now.
He's going to get out. He has to. I mean, my God. That was so fucking amazing.
No.
It's like Jessica Rabbit. You know, it's all cartoons. And then there's Donald Glover.
Right.
No, it was great how they
had the store clerk
mixed them in.
Yes,
you know, Toby scenes that are.
It was great.
So Peter B. Parker from the first movie shows up, and now he's got a baby, a spider baby.
I thought it was hilarious.
Looks like a baby Mary Jane. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man 2099 shows Miles every spider story, and he says, these are all canon.
He does say canon.
And he's like, you can't mess with canon.
It's so great.
They showed Andrew Garfield and Dennis Leary from Amazing Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. They showed Toby and Toby Maguire and with Uncle Ben from Spider-Man 1.
Oh, it still hurts.
Also, Spectacular Spider-Man was there, voiced by the same actor who did the cartoon. Awesome. I was waiting for 90s Spider-Man, but never saw him.
Right.
Or Amazing Spider-Man from your childhood. I never saw him either.
That would have been cool too.
It's got to be the next movie for sure.
Maybe. Yeah.
I'm sure he was in when they're all pointing to each other. I'm sure they were all in there.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, I looked it up. People did articles of like every Spider-Man that was there, and they didn't mention them. So,
well, these are just people. But yeah. Wow.
Okay. They showed. Where are we? Oh, I'm sorry. So 2099 said he had his family erased by changing the canon because he was, you know. And Miles realizes his dad's going to die, and 2099 says, yeah, your dad dies in 2 days, but you can't stop it. That's what has to happen.
But wasn't Miles' bad death his uncle? Like, didn't he already have a bad death? His uncle, just like other Peter Parkers
that's
have
true
got their
too.
Uncles. I didn't get why he had two bad deaths. Like, everyone had this bad death in their life. Most of them, their uncles. Or their
but again, this isn't even supposed to happen. He wasn't even supposed to get bit, is what we later find out.
Right.
It wasn't supposed to be this Miles that gets bit by the spider.
Yeah.
Because the Miles Morales canon is his dad dying.
Oh.
Yeah.
So his dad was going to eventually die anyways. But no, like, this was such a sad scene. Like, Spider-Man 2099's backstory, such terribleness.
Yeah.
You know, the original Oscar Isaac, the original, what's his name? This is 2099 Spider-Man.
Miguel.
That Miguel died in his universe, so he went to replace that family And then when he replaced it, that universe just exploded.
I was like,
that's fucking terrible.
Isn't he the most guilty guy out of everybody?
Right. I think that's his point. He's like, look, you can't do it. I tried.
I tried it and I fucked it all up. So now you can't.
Look, this is the tragedy of being Spider-Man.
Right.
You can't always, you know, have what you want. Your loved ones die. This is unfortunately the job description.
Yeah.
It's how it works.
Yeah.
And Miles is like, fuck that.
Nah, I'm not doing that shit.
He's like, you can't ask me to not save my father. And Oscar Isaac's like, I'm not asking. And he traps him in that little bubble, but Miles
bursts out. How about this? How about just don't tell him his dad's going to die in two days?
Well,
right?
Sure.
That's a, yeah.
And it would have just happened.
But Miles was figuring it out. And he was, because he was seeing all the other, and he was just like, when is it going to happen? But yeah, they could have lied to him, I guess.
And plus he got that when the spot kind of tangled with his brain, he got
saw
to
that
see
as well.
The future. And
yes.
Yeah.
So Miles busts out of the trap and then Miguel's like, you know, alerts everyone. He's like, everyone stop Spider-Man. And then we get the you.
Meme, yeah.
And we, Spider-Man from the PS4 game was there because it was the same costume from the PS4 game.
Nice.
Which the sequel to that is coming out this fall, and they just showed gameplay of it. Oh my God, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all chase Miles, including Spider-Rex, which is a T-Rex version of Spider-Man.
Fucking so cool.
Cool. This is where I get a little crazy with the multiverse. You know what I mean?
It was fucking great.
You didn't like the cat Spider-Man either?
It gets a little crazy. Spider-Cat. That's all I'm saying.
He was holding the cat.
Then he gets face-to-face with web-slinger Spider-Man. He's like, all right, draw on three. One, two. No, you didn't wait till three!
Yeah.
And then, like, we also see one Spider-Man with a Spider-Man therapist, and he's like, and then I looked at my uncle. Let me guess, he died.
So sad.
We did get cartoon Spider-Man from the 60s.
Yeah.
And he was like, here we go. And then I guess he fucked up and missed, and he was like, oh, crap.
There were so many. Like, even the Spider-Man car was a Spider-Man. Yes.
Right.
And yeah. I don't know if you saw it because we were watching that video, but on the Spider-Man car was Lego Spider-Man.
Oh, yes. Really? I don't think I caught that. Look at this Spider-Verse.
Ooh.
A Venom T-Rex versus Spider-Man.
That actually sounds amazing, to be honest.
Yeah, Venom Rex sounds pretty awesome. We have to assume in all of our dimensions that happened, right? He probably came to Earth before.
Yeah.
Just jumped on a T-Rex.
Happened millions of years ago.
Yeah.
Then we also have Ben Reilly, a.k.a. Scarlet Spider, voiced by Andy Samberg, who was so fucking funny that, like, he should have his own cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, that Spider-Man, oh my God.
Emotional wreck Spider-Man?
Yes. I'm a clone. Oh. It's so fucking funny. And then Peter B. Parker tells Miles, like, look, I had a baby because I met you. You know, I was afraid to have kids, then I met you. And we saw at the end of the first movie, like, he goes back and tries to patch things up with Mary Jane, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that Peter Parker has a happy life now.
Yeah.
And then
that was one of the points he tried to make to Miles, was like, look, we have tragedy that's in our character.
Yeah.
But we can also have triumph. Hold the baby.
Right. And then Miguel tells Miles, like, you were never supposed to be Spider-Man. That's why he was never part of the team. And he's like, everything you do ruins everything else in the multiverse.
Yeah, why don't they just kill him if that's the case?
right.
Spider-Man's not a murderer. And it's also funny because when you see all of his TV, like, going back, it's basically like Miguel's TVA, you know, from, like, of Loki, course. You know, yeah. Like, he's got his own TVA.
Right.
Exactly
but
what
it's,
it is.
It's specifically Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then Miles escapes to Earth, and 2099 blames Gwen, so he sends her home. Gwen's dad tells her he's quitting, so he won't be captain, and she realizes, I guess, he's not going to die now.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
She's like, oh, shit.
That was such a great speech, too, because she was, you know, really having a heart-to-heart speech with her pops. And he's like, I can't stop it because, or no, I can't arrest you because I just quit. And I was like, oh, my heart. That's so emotional.
And then she has, like, that epiphany where she's like, oh, he's not going to die anymore. Cool.
Right.
And I think that also gives her, like, hope. Like, well, I guess, you know, things don't have to be that, you know.
Right, yeah. Because earlier,
change fate.
Earlier in the movie, Miles was like, I'm going to tell my parents who I am. And she told him not to tell her parents.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she did.
Right.
We find out that Spider-Punk left her a multiverse device. Later we got Miguel with Scarlet Spider, a couple other ones, and he's like, did you check your location? Yes, Dad. Scarlet Spider. And like also like just Scarlet Spider narrating like he's in a comic.
Right.
Like that's what I mean. Like that would be so good for a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like it's so fucking great. So Miles goes home. He unzips his jacket. He tells his mom that he's Spider-Man. And she says,
who are you?
Yeah, right.
She's like, who's Spider-Man?
Yeah.
And at first you're just thinking like, oh, she's just a mom that's out of, you know.
Right.
She doesn't go on YouTube and say that
keep
shit.
Up with social media?
This is how it goes in your head, right? It goes, oh, she's just a mom. Oh, fuck!
Yeah.
Like, it's literally like the next beat in your brain. You're like, oh.
Also, there's there's so many hints. Even though it's only like a 5 or 10 minute thing beforehand, there's so many hints that he's already not in the right universe.
Are there?
Yes. Because she walks in, she's like, oh, you changed your hair.
Right. You took your braids out?
Even like the animation's a little different. And they even like show that like the products they sell were like, they were called different names.
Oh, the Coca-Cola. Right.
Instead of M&Ms, it was W&Ws and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's some detail for sure.
Oh, yeah. So then Miles glitches and that's when he realizes he's in the wrong universe. Uncle Aaron shows up. He's still alive.
And if you didn't know, that's when you really knew.
Well yeah.
They said it before. Gwen was like, he's in the wrong universe.
Right.
And Miles gives him a big hug. And Gwen goes back to Miles' correct universe and tells her parents or his parents that it's her fault. She's going to go after him. Then Miles goes with his uncle. And it was like, oh, okay. Like, so this universe is Miles, like, does bad shit with his uncle.
Yeah, with his dad, yeah.
Right.
And he gets knocked out by the Prowler, which when he wakes up, takes off his mask. Mm. Miles is Prowler in this world.
Holy shit, and he looks badass.
Yes.
Fucking A.
With the braids and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was fucking great. And then also when he punched, because they tied him to the punching bag.
Right.
And then Prowler Miles, like, punched it. I was like, did he just murder him?
Right. It made it look weird, yeah, for a second.
That, or he, like, knocked his lights out or something like that. But, yeah, it was definitely an interesting
punched
scene.
Punched the fuck out of that bag. And then we see Gwen recruiting the team from the first movie. Noir Spider-Man, Spider-Ham, yes. All the other ones.
Nick Cage confirmed.
Which means I'm back for the next one. Unless they don't give me any lines! but she says something like, you know, I never found the right band, so I started my own.
Oh,
and then it ends kind of on a cliffhanger, really.
Yeah.
Like, to be continued. The good thing is, the next one's coming out next year.
Yeah.
So we don't have to wait that long. It's like Infinity War going into Endgame.
Great.
When I was watching this, I had no idea there was going to be a direct sequel. So when it ended, I was like, I want more. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, oh. But then I was like, I was kind of excited because I was like, oh, it didn't fuck it up like Fast and Furious 10.
Yeah.
Where I knew that, oh, well, The Rock is in there. They already said there's going to be 5 movies after this that directly tie into it. So I was like, okay, right. So I was like, this is fine. And I guess I made a point of it not to watch any of the other trailers for this movie, but
yeah.
I was really happy with my experience.
If you do cliffhangers right, then they're great.
Yes.
Infinity War.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
So
Silent Theater.
To be continued beyond the Spider-Verse. It's confirmed. I'm buying the Steelbook.
Oh God.
Well,
definitely buying the Steelbook.
Nerd alert. And there was no end credit scene. So maybe we're going to stop doing that.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
I don't think they did it for the first one, so I guess it's just a stylistic choice by whoever made this movie.
Mm-hmm.
They probably feel it's oversaturated because it is.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
but it's funny, if you don't have one nowadays, people are like, what the fuck? But it's like, what else? I mean, that was a perfect movie. Like, you don't need anything else. It's fine.
Yeah.
Especially when you ended on a cliffhanger, you know.
I mean, what else could they have shown? I mean, another member being added to the team?
Right.
I mean, like, they kind of showed everything that they were going to show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
fucking amazing.
What would you rate it?
As a multiverse movie, this is a 10 out of 10, right?
As a Spider-Man movie.
It might be a 10 out of 10.
It's a 10 out of 10 for me.
But as a movie, I think this is a 10 out of 10.
IMDb has it as a 9.1, and that's ridiculous.
Well,
I think I saw this as the highest rated comic movie.
Rotten Tomatoes is like a 96.
That's insane.
Right. I mean,
it just says perfection. These are people's masterful. One of the best sequels to anything ever.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about
this movie... I'm trying to look for a bad one. I can't even find one.
Like, what 90, else?
95 critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, 96 audience score.
I can't think of anything else that this movie could have done to make it better. I mean, this is...
Right.
This was great.
Yeah. You have to, like, hate Spider-Man if you don't like this movie.
Or maybe, right. maybe and those people didn't come.
Or maybe you don't like cliffhangers.
They didn't come.
You know what I mean?
Here's a bad review. It's a dazzling first half of a film, leaving its story in suspended animation... thanks to an unsatisfying conclusion that feels less like a cliffhanger and more like someone accidentally sat on the remote just as things were getting interesting.
Well, that's what a cliffhanger is, though.
Yeah, right.
That's what I said. People that don't like non-endings,
right?
Even though you know there's going to be a part three, so or part two to this one or whatever.
Mark Jackson from Epic Times. Ever and visit sports. Folks who suffer from extreme clutter with actual pathways around islands of books and dirty laundry standing 4 feet high? It would take 10 pages to define the plot here. This is a review for non-Spider-Man expert 40-somethings and up. So they're just haters.
What?
Yeah. They're just haters.
That doesn't even make sense.
Right.
That's gibberish on a page.
What once seemed brain-bendingly original now seems overfamiliar.
I'm going to say one thing about this.
Like multiverse,
I'm going to say one thing about this movie. They were able to continue... like the excitement, it was never boring. Like there was always something. Even the fight scenes were incredible. Like everything about this was great. This guy, 90% of this film had nothing to do with the actual plot and was so incredible boring. Huh? I wanted to leave the theater. Like this guy's having a bad moment in his life. It has nothing to do with the film.
They obviously were showing a different how movies movie were. When they came.
Josh does that sometimes. When Josh is having a bad day, he'll see an amazing movie and sells and he's like, it sucked.
Yeah, like
Gwen's entire storyline could have been removed. No. That was like half the movie was her storyline.
What? Like you can even argue she's the star, like she's the main character.
It's her movie.
We didn't talk about one thing.
There's two main characters.
One thing that I wanted to bring up that we didn't mention was one of the emotional beats in the movie was that every Spider-Man's dad dies, right? So when
uncle, or dad, whatever.
Because the captain.
Yeah, captain.
That's not his dad. That's Gwen's dad.
But no, but it's Miles' dad.
Okay. But he's saying.
But anyways, so. Remember when Miles left, now he's trapped in this opposite universe. He might never talk to his dad again. You know, he might have talked to his mom for the last time.
Well, in that universe, Aaron didn't die. Miles' dad died.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you don't think he's going to get out of that universe? Come on.
Sure. But maybe his dad dies before he can get to his dad.
I don't think so.
You never know.
I think what the third movie will show is Miles shows all the other Spider-Men. It doesn't have to be this way. Maybe you still have to try. You can save the ones you love.
Right? Maybe. I did want to mention that...
changing the canon.
Speaking of...
And then we go back and they all save everyone.
Everyone's dead.
We see Tobey Maguire save Uncle Ben.
Save Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
But they did change Miles Morales' origin story for this movie. So it's
for this movie?
Yeah, because
you mean for the first movie?
Well, no, for this movie here, because he was bitten by a spider, I guess a Spider-Verse from a different universe.
Yeah.
That didn't happen to the original Miles Morales. So it's different for this one.
Well,
so
yeah, the original
canon is actually changed a little bit.
Well, that's the point.
Well, yeah, I'm just,
that's the point.
I'm the just canon kind of was
the multiverse was never a canon event to explain how Miles Morales got his powers.
Right. Well, I'm just explaining it for the people out there that, you know, it's a little bit different of an origin story for Miles Morales here.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, 10 out of 10 for me.
Agreed.
Joe?
10 out of 10.
I first sweep it? Wow. Okay.
I mean, didn't you just say 9? No, you got swayed.
No, 10.
You said 9 a second. All right.
Did I?
I've got an interesting question. Better part 2. Across the universe. Across the Spider-Verse. Empire Strikes Back.
Uh-huh.
Dark Knight.
That's impossible.
Well, I mean, I'm not as...
It's recency bias for me. But I mean,
that's the problem with that question, isn't it?
I'm not the biggest Star Wars, so
yeah, I know.
I could take out Empire. So it's The Dark Knight or Across the Spider-Verse.
For a better part two, yeah.
Better...
Hell, I could throw Spider-Man 2 in there.
You can.
As well, because I still like... Look, I would take Dark Knight. I would take Spider-Man 2. Again, I'm more of a live-action guy, but this was incredible. Nothing against this movie.
And it was a fucking cartoon.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, usually I'm not like that. But yeah, this really did it for me.
Right.
I'm seeing it again soon. I know that much.
I probably won't.
I can't wait to see it again. But, you know, to Dark Knight, come on now.
No, but
that's not fair.
I'm hoping,
I've seen Dark Knight 100 times. I'll let you know when I say this 100 times.
Okay, fair
and
enough.
And he'll let you know in
and
2 weeks.
And you probably will.
I probably will. Yeah. Fuck, man. That
Incredible.
Was so fucking good. Let's see what our fans have to say
All right.
about this movie. Chief Nakahomer, did you guys ever play the PlayStation 1 Spider-Man game where Doc Ock gets the Carnage symbiote on him? Yes.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Yes, I did.
That sounds interesting.
The movie had a neat Easter egg from it. My rating for the movie is 8 out of 10.
Oh.
Hey, 8, 9, 10, whatever.
I did play that game. I loved it as a kid. It's funny, I recently rewatched someone play it on YouTube. And yeah, all the member berries came back.
So it was a Venom Doc Ock?
No, it was a Carnage Doc Ock.
Carnage Doc Ock.
Well, Carnage was in it. You defeat Carnage, but then the symbiote leaves him and goes on Doc Ock. And the last level of the game is Doc Ock chasing you
as
Doc Ock Carnage.
That's impossible.
It's amazing.
So you just lose?
Yeah, the game is over.
No. So you lose.
But it's like I was, 12 or like it was terrifying. Like when I was playing it, I was like, oh God, just running away.
So it takes 100 lives to beat it, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Tim, the best animated movie ever. You guys could do a small review of the Dark Side of the Ring episodes. I think, that was giving ideas for Patreon Hogwatch.
Oh, sure.
I agree on best animated movie ever.
I also
acknowledge that I'm a Spider-Man mark, but still.
Yeah, no, this is great. Yeah.
You fucking mark!
But,
I'm a Miles Morales mark.
I know. Seriously.
And a Spider-Man 2099 mark now.
You know what's funny is...
how many other Spider-Men could have gotten away from all those Spider-Men? You got to kind of put that in perspective, too. Miles is pretty...
He's Neo.
He's
wow.
It's funny because
the one who wasn't supposed to be is the powerful
right.
one.
Miles is Leo's favorite Spider-Man because of these movies and because they made kind of like a spin-off game from the Spider-Man PS4 game where it's Miles Morales. It's kind of a shorter game, but Miles has better powers because he has the Venom electricity shit.
Right.
And Leo loves playing that game.
But speaking of what you were just saying, Joe, like seriously, Miles Morales like tore through all these people. Like there were nothing.
Well, he's got, look, every Spider-Man has a little bit slightly different powers, I guess. How did he become invisible? Like that was just something he got
from
the spider?
Yeah.
I don't remember how, it's just that was one of his things.
Mm-hmm.
He could turn invisible whenever. Yes. He didn't create that.
And I guess he was learning the electricity part too.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of other powers that most Spider-Men don't have.
Exactly.
But tore through all of them.
Crazy. He ran away.
They weren't trying to kill him.
Right.
They were just trying to contain him.
Still. Yeah.
But all that webbing, they couldn't do it.
No, they couldn't do it. Omar, talk about Night and Day with Sony and their Spider-Man related movies. The animated movies is truly where they thrive, especially for story, visuals, and captivating your audience. Sony, please stop with the live-action Venom and Morbius movies. Reboot those characters and give them their due justice. Maybe their own animated films, because this is where it's at for them. For me, this is probably the best Spider-Man movie that has ever come out. My only gripe about the movie is I wish they used the original actor that played Peter Parker in the 90s animated series. Great movie. Can't wait for the sequel. Here's the thing. Since they're doing a sequel, you can't blow your load and put every Spider-Man reference in this movie. You got to save 90s Spider-Man and 80s Spider-Man, for the next one.
Yeah.
So I'm confident that there'll be more Spider-Man references.
I did want to say this. So a Screen Rant apparently is trying to tie together Vulture and Morbius to actually making sense in the big scheme of things because of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Right.
Because they're saying that, you know, when they were first trying to get the Leonardo da Vinci vulture, he was an anomaly. And they're saying that Vulture was an anomaly in Morbius. So they're trying to tie those together, which I thought was kind of interesting. That was kind of interesting.
Another rumor is that the next movie will lead to live action Miles Morales.
Well, let's hope.
Because it kind of has to, because this is the Miles we all fell in love with. So if you just make a movie with another guy and he's like, hey, I'm Miles.
A different
like,
voice.
Fuck
right,
you,
right.
I want him.
Right.
I want him. Like my cousin Vinny. This is the largest crew of any animated movie ever made. 1,000 people worked on it.
Wow.
Right around 1,000. And also at 2 hours and 20 minutes, it's the longest American animated film ever.
Oh, shit.
The animation is just amazing.
Feifel Goes West wasn't 2.5 hours?
I guess not. It seemed like it, huh?
Who?
Feifel Goes West. You never saw that?
No.
And guess when production of the film was completed? This is insane.
Oh, I think I saw that. It was like 2 years ago,
a
right?
A month ago?
2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, like no, maybe 2 years ago. No, Josh?
Maybe they were working on the animation 2 years ago or something like that.
You hear about directors talk about that the whole time where it's like, yeah, we just finished the movie. We finished editing it right before we, you know, turned it in, before it came out.
You know, it's been 5 years since the first one, but it should have been out last year. But some COVID stuff had pushed it for sure. I know that.
Red shirt guy, should Chuck Norris be a villain in the next Fast movie? I mean, he's like 80 now. Probably not.
Yeah, no.
He'll be in the next Expendables movie.
I mean, Harrison Ford's in his 80s, and he's going to be Red Hulk.
Oh, shit. That's right, yeah.
But we haven't really seen Chuck Norris do anything in a while.
No.
Right.
One Punch Man, do you think Marvel needs to explore this kind of animated filming for their biggest heroes? Would it work? I mean, Spider-Man is the biggest hero, so I would say yes.
And this is an association with Marvel, so I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PCJ, I always thought it would be a good option to make animated sequels or spin-offs of great live-action movies since the voices would stay the same while the original actors would eventually age out of their roles. What classic or favorite films would you want to see have an animated version as sequels or spinoffs?
Oh, Fast X Part 2 as an animated film done by these guys would be the greatest movie ever made.
Oh my God, it's 100 Dominic Toretto's family. They all just have a giant hug and they all have sex with each other.
No, but speaking to what Pop Culture Junkie's talking about, that's what DC's trying to do, right? They're trying to do the animated movies and have the live action movies kind of be in the same type of thing, actors.
That's what this is doing.
Yeah, I kind of like this. It's kind of nice.
I mean, Marvel did that with What If. They made What If canon a part of everything, you know?
Wow, I'm looking at some other weird facts. Like, his mother's eyes were a different color. Not that you would notice that.
Right.
But even her eyes were green versus blue or brown.
Well, they were like, on the billboards, it was like... I forget what the soda was called, but it was like something
soda. It was a
different
type of Coca-Cola.
But then it was like something cola instead, and it was like these minor differences.
Right.
And
I even saw that instead of Puerto Rican, that the alternate mom was Venezuelan. So
yeah. Oh, really?
I'm kidding.
Oh, I was like, okay.
So when, because we were watching that spoilers thing. When she does the snap when she's in the office talking
with
the...
When he gets a B in Spanish and she's like, you know, she snaps her fingers. It's like the colors of the Puerto Rican flag, right?
I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff.
So great. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch this at least 3 more times.
What would you want to have as an animated version of a sequel of, like, one of your favorite films? Fast X would be great.
I'd love to see an animated sequel to, like, Everything All Everywhere All at Once. That'd be kind of neat.
Or spinoff,
yeah.
Yeah.
See some of the different multiverses, maybe a little bit more like of the hot dog universe.
Like a Hulk with Ed Norton as the Hulk still, maybe, where he's not a goofball idiot. Yeah.
A Hulk animated film would be the things you really can't do, like actually seeing him become the Hulk that we have only seen twice in the whole MCU.
Well, they've done a couple Hulk animated ones, like Hulk versus the Wolverine. That's kind of
funny.
Those aren't theatrical releases.
No.
So, all right, that is all for fan questions. So,
fucking amazing movie.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcasts. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Hollywood Hog Pod. Become a supporter of the show at patreon.com/Hollywood Hogwash. And next week, we will review Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay!
Autobots assemble.
Speaking of nerd alert,
Autobots transform and roll out.
I haven't seen a Transformers movie since the first one in 2007. So I have a lot of catching up to do.
Let me catch you up, Joe will explain everything to me.
I dropped out after the Mothra one, so I haven't seen that one.
Let me explain everything.
Yeah.
No, we don't have enough time. Let me sum up. Optimus Prime is leader of the Autobots. I think that's all you need
to know. Isn't that what he always was?
He became evil 2 movies ago.
Fuck.
He got hacked?
He was hacked.
So he's like the Hulk.
Yeah.
What's the...
Like, 3 of my TikToks are literally Transformer references. Like,
I saw him on the road. I was with mom driving, and there was this giant Autobot thing. Anyway. Is it just a bunch of other 40-year-olds in the theater when you go see the movie?
Easy.
Well, what's the villain's name?
A few more years, Andrew. A few more years.
I know.
What'd you say?
The villain. What's his name?
Megatron.
Starscream.
Look,
did Shia LaBeouf, did his character at least die?
He's just gone. He's fucking Megan Fox somewhere.
By the way, Mark Wahlberg is like Vin Diesel in the fact that like you'd rather him be in a movie than not be in a movie because he's just so great. And he's funny.
Mark Wahlberg should be in Fast X. And I'm not the first person to say this, but they should merge Fast and Furious with Transformers. They're both cars.
Wait.
Can you imagine Vin Diesel driving a car and it turns into a Transformer?
Ultron, right?
Ultron.
Megatron. Whatever. No, okay. So Joe's the expert here, right?
Like, no, Jason Momoa is driving Megatron and Vin Diesel is driving Optimus Prime.
Yeah. I can't believe it's the same guy from when I was a kid still to this day.
Oh, really?
The same guy that did the cartoon, Peter Cullen? Yeah. No Mark Wahlberg in this one.
I am curious because since you're the Transformers guy, Joe, is the Bumblebee movie canon?
I think Bumblebee was a time. I didn't watch it.
Okay.
So wait, I heard bad reviews, so I didn't. I put it on one day when I was like falling asleep, so I didn't really watch it. But Bumblebee movie was like a standalone in like another time.
Okay.
So like, is it canon? Yes, but I don't think it affects.
Curious if like
kind of like Tokyo Drift,
John Cena.
You know what? I'm more interested now because Michelle Yu's in it.
Oh shit!
From Everything Everywhere. Okay. Who's the main character? We got Pete Davidson. Peter Dinklage
is in this?
Ron Perlman is a voice. Who the fuck's the main character?
Well, it's Optimus Prime. It's the...
Yeah, but...
See, these are all Transformer names. Anthony Ramos. Noah Diaz.
Okay.
That's going to be like Ramos the guy that's in it.
Ron Perlman. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, everybody's a Transformer.
Yeah.
Look, the mom from Across the Spider-Verse is in it. As Miss Diaz, whatever that is.
Oh, cool.
Oh, she plays the main character's mom. She's just playing moms all over this multiverse.
She's been typecast.
Typecast as a mom. All right, we'll see you next week for Transformers.
Boom.
Roll out.